This is the Motion Church Podcast. Thanks for joining us. If you'd like more information about Motion Church, you can always visit our website at motionchurch.com. If you'd like to contribute to what God is doing here at Motion, you can do that at motionchurch.com/give. We hope you enjoyed today's message.
All right, what's up, everybody? I don't know about you, I'm very easily inspired. That music makes me want to like jump a wall or something. I don't know, it's inspiring. I'll be honest with you, we'll jump into the series in just a minute, but for some reason, do you ever wake up some days and you're just kind of like, not edgy, but just raw, right? Like, and for whatever reason, in a good way, like this morning, I'm kind of emotional. I don't know what the heck it is. I don't know if it's the band was just incredible. The music was so good. But I was thinking, it's interesting because you kind of make some of these connections. I was thinking this week, that if man could save himself, if man could fix himself, wouldn't he have done it by now? Like, haven't we had enough cracks at this, you know, centuries and centuries of humanity? And the assumption would be if we are capable of fixing ourselves and saving ourselves, that we would have accomplished it by now. But it seems to me that we're actually going in the other direction, right? We're going in the wrong direction. And so when we sing that last song, what can wash? Y'all just give me a second. It's all right. We're going to get there. What can wash away my sin, right? I can't do it. That is so far above my pay grade. That is something that I am incapable of. That's beyond the scope of my capabilities. I cannot fix myself. I cannot wash away my own sin. But thank God for Jesus. So that was free. Thank you, Shelly. Woo. It's the heat. It's just the heat, you know, to get you emotionally vulnerable, right? I'll be honest with you guys. When I'm hot, I'm just like, y'all leave me alone. Y'all don't touch me. Don't look at me. Don't think about me. Don't even think about me when it's hot. So we've been in a series that has nothing to do with what we're talking about today, just for whatever reason, right? So we've been in a series. We're actually wrapping up a series today called Heroes. So if you're kind of like stuffy and traditional, you're probably not going to enjoy this series, like, because we're having a little bit of fun with it. There are a lot of other churches that you could go to and be stuffy and traditional. That ain't us, right? And then nothing wrong with those churches if that's what you dig. We don't dig it, right? That's not how we roll. So we've been having fun with this. And so the idea here is, obviously, collectively, we like heroes. We love heroes. In fact, I would say that some of us are obsessed with heroes. Because what I've found as I've gone through the series and I've said things, the people who come and correct me about like heroes and facts, I'm just like, I got nothing for you, because that you just confirmed my belief that you are a super nerd, right? So you'll probably have some more, you know, like tidbits of information. Anybody who wants to share tidbits of information with you, you kind of know what you're dealing with, right? So we've been having fun with it. It's fun because we're obsessed with heroes. We like heroes, and it's proven by the fact that we spend squillions of dollars every year at the box office watching hero movies. We love heroes, and it's not a new phenomenon. This is something that's been going on. Really, if you go back to even the origins of literature, the first stories that were ever written were about heroes and their journeys and their feats and their accomplishments, because we love heroes. And here's what's so good for us. As followers of Jesus, we don't have to divorce our affinity for heroes from our Christianity, because Christianity is full of heroism. You find the qualities, the characteristics, and even the characters who exemplify and personify what heroism and heroes are all about. And obviously the most important one of those being Jesus. We'll kind of give you the recap if you've missed any of it. So the first thing we looked at is how heroes liberate, right? Heroes come, they swoop in, and they save the day, right? You find the damsel in distress, or you find a people who are oppressed, and the hero comes and kicks butt, takes names, and sets people free, right? Essentially, that's the Cliff Note version of it. So the correlation for us is that Jesus is the great liberator. He said in Luke chapter 4 that his mission, his purpose for coming to the earth was to set at liberty those who were oppressed and bring freedom to the captives. And so Jesus is a liberator. Jesus was the greatest hero of all time. Bless you. That was a good one. The second week, we looked at how heroes sacrifice. And so kind of obviously the idea is heroes are better than us, right? They're greater than us, they're stronger than us, they're faster than us, they're smarter than us, on and on and on. But they choose to involve themselves in the lives of the lowly humanity, right? And so ultimately what you find in that is that they sacrifice on behalf of us, kind of the less than. And I can't think of a better example of this, like in terms of sacrifice. Jesus said that greater love has no man than this, than to lay down his life for his friends. Like that is the embodiment of sacrifice. It's the ultimate sacrifice. And we talked about how important sacrifice is and all this. All this stuff is on podcast. Go back and listen to it if you're really interested. And last week, we kind of shifted gears just a little bit and talked about some different characteristics. We talked about how heroes have a superpower, right? It's a gift that makes them unique. And the correlation is you got a gift too, and it makes you unique. And it is your responsibility to use your gift to serve the world around you, right? And we always think, this is what we do. We tend to diminish our gift because it doesn't look like somebody else's gift. And how ignorant is that? And we talked about how heroes don't really compare themselves. Like you don't see Superman comparing himself to Batman. And he's like, well, Batman doesn't really have any gifts, but that's irrelevant. But he got a lot of monies, and that can change things. So don't compare yourself to other people. Just use the gifts that God has given you. Run your race in your lane and stop worrying about everybody else. We talked about all that. So this week, we're going to finish up, and we're going to look at a couple more really important parallels between Christianity and superheroes. And the first one, and look, if you're one of those that you get so deep into this that you're offended when somebody compares Marvel and DC and all that stuff, just go ahead and leave. Just say, because I know enough about this stuff to be dangerous, but we're going to call our first point the Justice League. Just because, honestly, I like the name of it. It's powerful, right? You go back to, and I love history, but, you know, you go back to, like, the League of Nations. Powerful, right? And I'm like, yeah, probably the Antichrist, too, but whatever. Just kidding. I also enjoy conspiracy theorists. You guys obviously do not. This point is called the Justice League. You guys need to loosen up a little bit. I feel some tension. Called the Justice League. Now, here's the first thing that we're going to look at today as it relates to heroes, is you often find that heroes, in spite of their own individual abilities, gifts, talents, success, what they will do is they will then go and join forces with other heroes so that they can accomplish more together than they ever could on their own. It was like the Justice League was kind of one of the first ones, right? And then you have, like the Avengers, right? You have people with all of these different gifts come together, they use them collectively, and they do more together than they ever could on their own. We have X-Men, my personal favorite. I was like, Wolverine was just a jerk, and I kind of liked him. I was like, I can respect that. Fantastic Four. Tavian used to watch Teen Titans. So you find a lot of times these heroes, they get together, and they use their gifts, accomplishing more together than they could on their own. The point is they come together, they put aside any differences that they may have, and it's for the good of the world. Sounds to me just a little bit like church, right? It sounds to me a little bit like this thing that Jesus talked about called the body, right? And Paul, you know, kind of really expounds on in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We looked at it last week. The body is the church, and when we come together, what we find is that, and again, so many important things about this. Like we have heads and, well, hopefully you have a head, but you have hands and feet and ears and a nose and a mouth. And so ultimately all of these things have to come together and work together for the body to be all that the body can be. And if one part doesn't perform or one part doesn't participate, then we're never fully what we were created to be. We're not optimal, right? I don't think that there's a clearer picture of what the church is supposed to be than when you see people coming together, heroes in our case, using their gifts to serve the world. That is what the church is. We're all different. We've talked about this. Like some of y'all are real different. Like way different, right? And here's what's so important about this. It's so important because our uniqueness is the strength of our bond. The thing that is so different about you that makes you so different from me makes me better when I join with you. And the weakness that you have and the strength that I have, when we put those things together, we're stronger, we're better together, we're better when we work together, when we join forces like the Justice League, right? It's just really important. Now, here's another, let me give you a qualifier, right? Because we're so different, this can be really hard. Some of y'all see the world in a way that I just cannot begin to comprehend. I can't understand why you think the way you think, but I love you. Have you noticed that we have an incapability as a society to love people who don't think like we think? I was talking to a friend of mine this week, and we talk a lot in the church world about diversity. It's really important to be diverse and have, and here's what we limit diversity to the color of our skin, but diversity also, it goes all the way into the way that you think, the way that you see things, your experiences that's made you the person that you are. We need people, not people that just think like us. We need to be challenged sometimes to make sure we know what it is that we think. So we come together, we use our gifts to serve the world. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 and 11, it says this. It says, each of you, somebody say each. Oh, good morning. That was good. I didn't say good morning, too. I said say each. So each of you should use your gift, use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. And he kind of gives some examples. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength that God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the honor and the power forever and ever. Amen. I may have added honor in there. I don't think it's actually in there, but you get the idea. So what are we learning here, right? The idea here is that each and every one of us have a gift, and we have a responsibility to be good stewards of that gift. I don't know about you, but there are a lot of people that I don't want to answer to. But there's one person that I really don't want to answer to. I would just absolutely hate to get to the end of my life. You know, it's my time, and I'm standing before God, and I have to tell him why I didn't do all the things that he asked me to do. That is not a conversation that I want to have. That's not a conversation that you want to have. Could you imagine, just think about it from a parental perspective. Let's say you have a son or a daughter who is immensely talented, very intelligent, very capable, and they spend their entire life doing nothing with their life. Like, wouldn't as a parent you be so disappointed in what they could have been, the potential that they had? And sometimes I think God looks at us, he gives us these gifts, he gives us these abilities, and so when we get to the end of our lives, I think that we're going to have to answer for those, so we better be good stewards of what it is that God has given us. So that's kind of the first aspect of it. Like, we have gifts, we have these, you know, superpowers, we need to come together and use them so that we can do more together than we can on our own. Now, here's one other layer to it, and this is something you hear all the time. This is something we talk about all the time. You are just not created. You're not intended to do life alone. Like, you're just not. And I'll be honest with you, I kind of like the idea of doing life alone sometimes. Like, Shelly's an extrovert. I tend to be more introverted. Shelly loves people. I like people a lot, just for limited amounts of time. Anybody with me? I got a few of you. Now, Shelly would go absolutely bat nuts crazy if she wasn't around people on a very regular basis. But also kind of understanding maybe your tendency if you are more introverted. Now, here's the thing. Like, it's perfectly fine to have your time to be alone, and that's how we recharge our batteries, but you don't get to stay there. Did you know that a power tool that stays on the battery all day is useless? My girl taking notes. Listen, y'all don't understand. I love power tools. Love them. Love them, love them, love them. But if you leave, in fact, you know that if you leave batteries on the charger too long, that it ruins the batteries, right? You've heard all this. Like with your phone, if you left it on charge, it limits the life of the battery. And I think the same thing is true for us. Take your time. Spend some time alone. Spend some quality time with God, like you and him and nobody else. But you also are created for community. We're supposed to do this thing together. Maverick Christianity is an oxymoron. I'm going to say that one more time based on the response. It was not very good, right? Maverick Christianity, this solo Christianity, this doing things by myself, for myself, you know, all alone without anybody. I don't need nobody to help me. I'm a strong, independent woman. I mean, I'm not, but maybe some people would say that. Maverick Christianity, that's an oxymoron. That's not a real thing. Like, think about it like this for just a minute. So if anybody could have done his life alone, wouldn't it have been Jesus, the Son of God, the creator of the universe, the first and the last, the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega? If anybody could have done life alone, wouldn't it have been Jesus? But he chose to share his life with other people. And what did he gain from it? Very, very little, probably some entertainment because, you know, hanging out with people who cuss and cut people's ears off is always fun. Peter, thanks, bud. If you don't know, you don't know. It's all in there, I promise. So I think you see kind of exemplified in Jesus the fact that sharing your life with people, doing life with people is incredibly important. So if your propensity is to isolate and do life alone, don't do that. That's not what we're called to do. That's not what we're created for. You are hardwired for relationships. Did you know that, and you've heard all of this stuff, like when you experience physical touch, not too much because then it just gets weird. But what happens is chemicals get released in your brain, those feel-good chemicals get released in your brain, and you're like, oh, I'm happy, oxytocin, like hugs and kisses and butterflies and rainbows and unicorns. It's great, right? Maybe the rest of it was a bit of an exaggeration, but you get the idea. Like, so naturally, our bodies respond to community. Is it always going to be easy? No. Is it going to be extremely difficult sometimes to put up with people who are just knuckleheads? Yes. Do we do it anyway? Yes. Did you know that there are very few things in Christianity that Jesus has asked us to do that were easy? Most of them were very difficult. Like, I don't know, go back to one of the most well-known statements. He said, hey, if you want to follow me, pick up your cross and carry it daily. I don't know if you know this or not, but a cross is a sign of suffering, right? It is a difficult and arduous task to carry a cross on your back every day of your life. So it's not easy, but it's worth it. And so when we find in community the resource that God has given us called people, then we invest in that. We understand the value of it. So sociologists, I love, you have to be careful with some of this stuff because you can find information, it's kind of the bias. You can find information that supports your idea. Anybody else ever do that? Nah, we wouldn't do that. It's called curated content. We only listen to things that reinforce our own beliefs instead of challenging what it is that we think. I would never, ever do that. So sociologists, they've basically reduced human needs, aside from our like physical needs, like food and shelter and all of those things, but our needs have been reduced down to two kind of different categories, two primary categories. It is to be known, and it is to be needed. As we're pretty simple. Like we are, I mean, as complex as we are, you can reduce it down to some very simple ideas. We have this inner desire, this strong desire that brings about fulfillment and change in our life, and it is to be known and it is to be needed. I go to particular stores just because they know my name. Where everybody knows your name. Yeah, everybody over 40 knows that one, right? Everybody, he's like, what? Cheers, look it up. It's crazy. It's on a thing called a TV. I don't know if you guys have those. Everybody knows your name. We love that idea of being known. I legitimately, there are, I'll give you just a really quick example. We don't have corporate sponsorship, so I can say whatever I want to say. There is a big box store that sells lumber that is blue that I do not go to unless I am just absolutely forced to go to that particular store. Because I went there one time when I was 18. I walked in, I was looking for, it's Lowe's, just in case you were curious. Like I said, I can say whatever I want to say. Ain't nobody paying us to do this. So I went in, I was 18 years old. This was a long time ago. I went in and we were, Shelly and I had just bought a house. And when I say we bought a house, we bought a shell. I mean, it wasn't much to it. It needed a lot of work. Also, stories in there about everybody trying to get, I'm not even going to get started on that one. That's a whole, listen, we lived in this house for the first 10 years of our marriage. It became a house. When we got it, it was not a house. No air conditioning, no central heat and air. I mean, we added the plumbing and the electrical, and you guys have no idea. One winter, this was so crazy, because there was no insulation. It was freezing. Like, and man, that just, kind of the upside is you got to cuddle to stay warm. I'm like, all right, because we were newlyweds, right? So what you do, you cuddle when you're newlyweds. And now you're just like, stop touching me, right? So one winter, it was freezing cold. So I had this bright idea. We didn't have central heat in there. I had this bright idea. I worked at an industry that was industrial. Clear? I worked in a machine shop. And so I went into and found in the Granger catalog, and it was called an industrial infrared heater. I think you can see where this story is going. So basically, thank God we didn't burn the place to the ground. Like, it is a miracle that place, it's still there today, miraculously. But so it was so hot where I hung this heater. Like, so it was 100 degrees It was 20 degrees outside. This particular part of the house was 100 degrees. If you get 20 feet away from it, it's about 30 degrees. Like, it was just so much because the heat would just dissipate because there was no insulation. So we had a friend come over one time, and she was sitting on a couch that was underneath this heater. She thought she was sick. Like, she thought she had the flu or so. She's like, I'm just burning up, right? And it was like, no, that's just my industrial infrared heater, girl. Yeah, change couches. You have to rotate couches. It's like a rotisserie. You rotate couches, like the hot couch, the cold couch. It was glorious. And you listen, all y'all starting out with central heat and air, I don't want to hear about how hard your life is. I don't want none of it, right? Running water. What is that? So basic needs. Is that what we were talking about? Oh, I like to be known. So we had this house that needed a lot of work. So I went to Lowe's one time. And probably very immature. I mean, I've grown a little bit since then. So I went in. I was looking for a particular item. I couldn't find what I was looking for. And I sure couldn't find anybody to come help me find what it was that I was looking for. And I'm not talking. I wasn't being petty. I wasn't Karen or whatever. What is the male equivalent of Karen? Kevin, Keith. Why does it got to be the K names? So I went in. I looked around. I tried to find some help. And I couldn't get. They used to have this button that you would press. Assistance needed on whatever, aisle 37 in plumbing or whatever. So I was there for probably half an hour just kind of looking for myself and trying to get somebody to help me, and I could not get somebody to help me, and I was like, out. So I went to the orange store, the O-Range store. I went to Home Depot. I walked in, like, and this could have just been like that day, but it made such an impression on me. So I walked in, and they were like, hey, how's it going? What do you need? And I was like, oh. I need this little fitting. And they took me to it, and they helped me find it, and I got it. And I have spent thousands, I mean hundreds of thousands of dollars at Home Depot since then because they knew my name. I felt known in that moment. Think about the power that that has in our lives to be known. And what a great platform to be known in the church, right? This is an opportunity for us to be known, to get to know each other, and the other side of it is to be needed. And I think we've talked about that very, you know, I guess a lot. We've talked about very clearly how important it is. Like, you matter so much. And what you bring to the table, what you offer matters so much. And if we don't have you, we aren't all that we can be. And this ain't even the army. Y'all don't remember that one? Be all that you can be in the army. So kind of the idea, again, coming back to the idea of the body, it's like we need every part of the body to operate maximally and optimally and efficiently. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 and 10, it says this: two are better than one, because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. And my fear is this is where a lot of people are going to find themselves, because what we find so often is we don't value community enough that we don't have anybody to pick us up when we fall down. We need people, and look, and I'll get to this in a minute. So the takeaway, actually, I'm going to get to it right now. I'm talking about, like, deep, meaningful relationships. I'm not talking about your friends. Y'all know that I got enough friends. Like, don't you have enough friends? Don't you have enough people who drop pleasantries and the formalities, and they don't really care about what's going on in your life? I don't want any more friends. I want brothers and I want sisters, because y'all know what the difference is, right? Friends come and go, but you're stuck with your family. Yeah, you can't get rid of them. Like, that's the kind of people that I want in my life. I want people who are there, who are with me, who I can be there for them, and we can kind of reciprocate the depth of the relationship. Like, I'm just no more of this, like, hey, I'm your buddy, I'm with you, I like you, I got your back, I'm your ride or die. Then you just died because you left. Just, I'm so over it. I don't want any more friends. I want brothers, and I want sisters, and I want people who will walk with hell through you, with you. You know, sometimes the hell's in you, isn't it, right? I got more. There's more where that came from. I'll be here all week. I want people who know how messed up I am and the mistakes that I make and come back every week, right? I want people, God, listen, let me help you out real quick. Anybody who says that they're with you for your lifetime, just go ahead and just nix them now. Anybody who feels the need to tell you that, they're already questioning it in their own head. They're going to be gone at first sign of trouble. They're going to be gone at the first sign of calamity, or when they don't get from you what it is they want from you, they're out anyway. So just go ahead and have a funeral for them in your head. Let me help you out, right? I don't want friends. I want people, the depth of the community that we're called to, people who, like Jesus said, would lay down their lives for each other. And that's not just like your literal life, but that's, you know, the sacrifices that we make on a regular basis to stand for each other, to walk with each other, to pick each other up when we fall down, because you're going to fall down. Like, it's going to happen. And so you need people there who can pick you up. When it comes to the idea of being known, I think one of the things that we gloss over is that means they like actually know us. Because most of the time, y'all think about that, we are so guarded. And there's layers to this, right? This is a complex, we don't tell everybody everything. That's stupid, right? Don't tell everybody everything, because then you ain't gonna have any friends at all. Because y'all know what TMI is? Sometimes less information is good, but there are certain people, Jesus modeled this. He had these concentric circles of relationships. He had what were kind of the closest disciples to him, Peter, James, and John. And then you had another larger concentric circle, the other 12 disciples, and he wasn't quite as close with them. The ones who were closest to him got to see things with him and about him that the others didn't get to see. And so the same thing, I think, should be true for us. And so we can be known, like actually known, all of our faults, all of our failures, all of our flaws, all of the upside, we can share all of that, and we can be known and we can be needed. So we need to be in community. That's kind of the idea of the Justice League, right? All right, good. It's resonating well. I sense it. Second point, last point, we're going to look at two of these things today. And this one, it's kind of cheesy. They're all cheesy, but this one, we're going to call it HQ. You know what HQ stands for? Hey, there we go. So it's called headquarters. Now, I'm going to give the nerds a chance. I was telling Tavian yesterday, I like technology, kind of like Kip. I love technology, right? Anybody ever seen Napoleon Dynamite? All right, good. So I love technology. So I fixed something yesterday, and Tavian was like, man, how'd you do this? I'm a nerd. He's like, you're not a nerd. I said, I just happen to be a cool nerd. So it's okay. You can be both. So I'm going to give the nerds an opportunity to do some. Go ahead and put up that first picture. If you're a nerd, tell me what this is. Who said it? Where you at? Hall of Justice. Yeah. Hey, super nerd. And you're cool. All right, next one. Bring the next one up. Yeah. Was X Mansion, yeah. It should be in the shape of an X. I don't understand why it's not. And then last one. That's pretty obvious, right? Yeah, that's where the Avengers hang out. The big A kind of give, like, to be superheroes, they're not very smart, because you kind of give away your location when you put a big A out front. So the point is, these heroes, these teams of heroes, have a place that they go to so that they can train, they can be equipped, they can, you know, find out what their gifts are, they can own their gifts. They can also, when they go into battle, and what I love about the stories of heroes is that they don't always win. Like, they ultimately win, but they don't always win. They win the war, but they don't necessarily win every battle. Sometimes they get their butts kicked. Sometimes you're going to get your butt kicked. And you need a place to go where you can go and recover and you can find respite and rest for your soul. You need a headquarters that you can return to where the training can happen and the equipping can happen and the discovery can happen and also the recovery and the rest that is necessary for you to get back out there and do it all over again. It's a pretty obvious kind of, you know, the parallel, right? It's obvious. So think about it in terms, let's go back to the superheroes for just a moment. So the success of the teams oftentimes depends on them coming together and formulating a plan, right? So they have this place where they convene, they put together a plan, and then they go and they do what it is that they do. And it's kind of, again, like we talked about last series, sometimes it's not even necessarily what we're doing, but it's knowing what the enemy's doing so that we know how we're going to respond to what it is that the enemy's doing. So they have an advantage over their enemies because they come together and they put together a strategy. They have a plan. So that's one kind of upside of having the headquarters. They spend time in training. They learn more about themselves. They learn more about their teammates before they ever get into the heat of the battle, like they've prepared for the battle. And I think, again, the correlation, the parallel is so obvious. Headquarters For the let me do it like this. How many of you remember taking the SAT? I don't know if it's, I assume it's still the same. So headquarters are to superheroes what church is to Christianity, right? Headquarters are to superheroes what church is to Christians and followers of Jesus. It's this place that we can go to where we can train and we can be equipped and we can be challenged. We can learn more about ourselves and we can learn more about our teammates. It's this place that we can go to when, listen, sometimes life just kicks you in the teeth. Sometimes somebody lied to you somewhere along the way and told you that everything was going to be easy all the time. And you probably are looking to have a conversation with them right about now, right? It's just not easy all the time. And when you lose and when you get knocked down, you've got a place that you can return to and you can recover. You can find rest for your soul. I love the way in Scripture it refers to the temple as the sanctuary. Y'all know what a sanctuary is, right? It's when the storms of life are coming and when hell is just coming constantly and you find calamity and just disaster and all of these things happening, you have a place that you can go to that protects you from those storms of life. And that is what the church is. I could give you 100 reasons why not to go to church. I could give you 101 reasons why you should go to church. Again, did anybody say it was going to be easy? Like this belief that things that are worthwhile are easy is the most foolish belief that we could ever have. Like, and I think that stems from this ignorance of entitlement that we like to find ourselves in, right? So ultimately, the headquarters, it's not a place for them just to go and stay, because I think a lot of people think that church is kind of like a resort where we get to go in. And this is one of the problems that we've had as the church is that people view it so much like, again, kind of this consumeristic mentality. It's, well, I go to church and I pick what church I go to because, you know, how it makes me feel, and I get the feel goods when I go to that church, and I like the music and the pastor and the pontificator and the preacher, right? No? And then a lot of people, they base their decision on where they go to church on how it makes them feel. And so all they want to do is they want to go to church, and they just kind of want to go to church and not actually apply any of the information that they get. And what you find is superheroes were never intended to live at headquarters. They were never intended to stay there all the time. You go, you get what you need, and then you get back out there and you save the world. You go, you get the training you need, and you get out there and you serve humanity. You go, you get the respite, the rest for your soul that you need, and then you get your butt back out there and make a difference in the world. And I'm just talking about superheroes. Imagine what it would look like if we viewed church like that. What if we viewed church from less from this preferential perspective where it's like, well, I go because I like this and I like this. Y'all know that most every other thing in life, we understand that you get out of it what you put into it. Like, look at your bank account. I don't know how yours is set up, but mine with checking and savings. Maybe that was too much. It was too close, right? You get out of it what you put into it. We understand this about every other aspect of life. Y'all know that I have a gym membership. Some of y'all do too, but you ain't seen it in a minute. Yeah, you are what the gym refers to as their favorite customers, the ones who give them money every month but don't come mess up their equipment. They've told me, like, I've heard this from the mouth. Listen, I'll stop being so offensive. So hear me out. So we've got gym memberships, right? But we know that just having a membership at a gym ain't gonna make a difference for our body. We know that we only get out of that gym membership what we put into that gym membership, and we go and we, you know, cardio, dear, why? Like, one of those questions that I'm gonna have for Jesus when the time, I'm like, couldn't you just, like, give me a little bit of metabolism, just help a brother out? Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 13, it says this. So Christ himself gave the apostles, we talked about this a little bit last week, but we're going to expound on it. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers for what? To equip his people for works of service, to equip us, his people, for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. So the idea here is we go to church because we know that ultimately what we're going to find, hopefully what you're going to find, are mentors and leaders and people who are a little further along than you that you can connect with, that you can start doing life with, who are going to equip you to go and do the things that God has called you to do, using your gifts, using your abilities to then go make a difference in the world. And I love this. I know when I first started going to church, I needed a lot of help. So did you, right? Like, I needed a lot. And what I'm so thankful for is that there were a lot of people who were a little further along than I was. They weren't perfect by any stretch of the imagination, but they were a lot better than I was, right? And so what I did is I just kind of connected myself to people who were further along than me, and it helped me. It's amazing the power of persuasion and influence. Like, when you, again, show me your friends and I'll show you your future. You are the sum total of the five people that are closest to you. So when you start connecting yourself to the right people who are a little further along than you, it changes your life, and it equips us for the works of service that God has called us to. And what's interesting about this, look at the language. And it says, so that we may be built up, we can reach unity, we can become mature, the whole measure, the fullness of Christ. We aren't everything that we are created to be unless we're buying in, we're invested, we're contributing, and then we get to see the payoff. But unfortunately, we don't often view church like that. We view church like, well, what can I get out of it? And I'm not going to put anything into it. I'm going to go, oh, I love that song. Oh, I don't like that song. That song ain't my song, but I like that other song. I might come back. Probably not. I'm just telling you. How about this? The church is also, so one of the things you find with the superheroes is they go when they're beat up, right? So they go back to the headquarters. They usually have a lot of advanced equipment there, like some of the medical technology, hyperbaric chambers, and whatever else that they would need. Y'all know that the church is also a triage? The church, now, look, I know this messes with a lot of the way that a lot of people grew up, because we went in to church and we were already fixed. At least we pretended that we were fixed. We went in with our nice pressed outfits, and we went in with our smug look on our face, and we went in like we had everything together. So we treated church more like a country club, but the church is a freaking hospital. I'm just going to get a drink of water right here. I told you guys I was messed up this morning. I don't know what the deal is. The church is not, what did Jesus say about this? Jesus said, hey, I didn't come for those who were well. I came for those who were sick. And what we do with this verse so often, and this is a kind of a natural lineation of the verse, is like, well, that means people who don't know him. But I don't know about you, but I'm sick sometimes. I don't know about you, but I still struggle with this stupid thing called sin. I still struggle as a human with a fallen nature, and we have flesh. And sometimes I'm sick, and sometimes I just need to get to the hospital. And for clarification, I don't go to the other hospital. I go to this hospital, like this one. Shelly, one time I broke my arm. Like, it was funny. I mean, as funny as that can be. I mean, like, I broke my arm. My arm is, like, drooping broke. Like, it's broke. Like everybody is like, oh, I broke my arm, and they had, like, a hairline fracture. I'm like, dog, that's not broke. I mean, broke. Snapped. Like, displaced. Like, messed up bad. I broke my arm, so I called Shelly. I wasn't going to go to the hospital. I was like, it'll be fine. It'll heal. So I called. Y'all think I'm playing? There was blood everywhere. It was glorious. So I wasn't going to go to the hospital. I called Shelly. I was like, hey, I'm going to come home. I broke my arm, and she was like, don't you think you should go to the hospital? Like, wouldn't that be, like, the most logical thing that you could do in this moment with your arm drooping down, broken? And so I was like, you right? Maybe I do need to go to the hospital. And what we do, unfortunately, so often is we just go home, and we isolate ourselves, and we don't go to the hospital. Can you fix yourself? Probably not. And even if you could, like, wouldn't you want to go to a place where there are people who are trained to do that kind of stuff? I don't know about you, but I don't want just anybody cutting my arm open and putting plates on it and stuff. I want somebody who knows what they're doing to help me get through the trauma that I'm going through. I want somebody who has been there and done that and got some experience. And when I go to church, when I crawl, And see, this is so fun because I'm preaching to the choir, right? You guys are here. So when I go to church, sometimes, I don't know this, you probably won't believe this, but there are some times where I just don't want to go to church. And I'm the pastor, right? But, and there are times where, like, man, I'm empty. There are times where I'm broken. There are times where I'm sick. And I got to go. Like, I have to get to the hospital because the hospital saved my life. And you can say whatever you want to say about the church. You can give me all 100 of your reasons why you won't go and why the church doesn't matter. The church saved my life. Can I get some napkins? Y'all wait till I'm snotting all over myself to give me a Kleenex. It's cool. Just more.
Thanks.
Sorry. I'm not even convinced that the church didn't literally save my life. Not just eternally, and thank God for all of that, obviously, right? But this is a hospital. And if you are sick, don't stay home. Y'all know what we do today. I got a snivel, staying home. Y'all don't want to talk about all that, right? You don't want to talk about the sissification of society where, like, we call in for everything nowadays. Is it too much? I don't care. I'm going to tell you what I think about it. Don't be a punk. Don't be a sissy. Don't call in. Don't quit just like because everybody else is doing it. And y'all, look at statistics. I love statistics. They're useless. Right? I love them because you can back up your idea, but then you can also find statistics that are contrary to the ones that you have that would refute your idea, but irrelevant. So I saw some statistics this week. So successively in each of the last 5 generations, we have disconnected from the church. You have the silent generation. That's what the article called them. I call them the greatest generation ever. They were more connected to the church. And you get the baby boomers, they were less connected. You get to Gen X, they were less connected. You get the millennials, they were less connected. They said that Gen Z is the least spiritual generation ever, least religious generation ever. Now, a lot of that is because of the older generations, like, right? We could have done a better job fostering and facilitating their relationships with the church and with God. But the point is, like, we are headed in the wrong direction, and a lot of this has to do with our mentalities of the headquarters, the way that we view church. Again, we have allowed this idea, this belief of consumerism to infiltrate the way that we view the church. Like, I'm only going to go to church if I can get something out of church. How about you go to church and give something to the church? How about you stop going to church to find out who can help you? How about you go to church to find out who you can help? And look, can I be a butthole for just a minute? I know I should not say that. Like, if this ain't for you, if this is not a community that you want to be invested in and involved in, go find another church, like, where you can just sit and do nothing, and you're going to get to the end of your life, and you're going to give an account to God for the reason that you didn't give like you were supposed to give. You didn't steward the gifts that you have. I don't really want any part of that. I'm inviting people into a community, a church where you are called to give. You are called to serve. You are called to sacrifice. You don't just come when it feels good. You come even when you don't feel good. You don't just come to see what you can get out of it. You come to see what you can give to it. You come to find people who are broken, lost, and hurting, and you make a difference in the world. I would so much rather be part of a church like that. Dear God, don't ever let us be a checklist church. I don't want to be a checklist. If all of this only ever results in all of this, we're wasting our time. If what happens in here doesn't make a difference out there, we're wasting our time and money and resources and everything else. It has to make a difference, but it doesn't make it a difference unless you invest, unless I invest, unless we're bought in, we're sold out. We have to believe that the church matters. We have to believe that this is the only entity that Jesus ever created, and he left it for us to run it. That is terrifying. But that's what we're called to.
Hebrews chapter 10, you've heard this. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25, and it says this, "And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds." That's all good, but this is where we tend to leave off. "Not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." So we love the first part. Hey, spur each other on towards love and good deeds, encourage each other. But don't give up. The King James says it like this: "Do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together." It just sounds so much more formal, right, and official. Basically, the idea here is coming together matters. There is value in our assembling together. And we understand this when it relates to superheroes. We understand how important it is for them to come together, to have this headquarters that they return to. But sometimes I think we don't think that the church has the value that the church has. And if your belief is that, maybe it's because you're not putting everything into it that you need to put into it. Maybe it's because you've been consuming so long, you don't even know how to contribute. I'm gonna get back to it. Don't want to offend anybody. Again, you guys are all here, right? We're talking about people who were supposed to be here who didn't come this week. This is what it says. Not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. The day there is in reference to Judgment Day. It's a day that every one of us will get to experience. It's a day that every one of us, nobody is exempt from this. And we're all going to stand before God in judgment. And we're going to give an account for the way that we lived our lives, the way that we stewarded the gifts that he gave us. And what I'm begging you for your own good, right? How ridiculous is it that you have to beg people to do things that are good for them? Make church part of your life. Y'all know that this is what we do statistically. Again, people who attend church regularly go once every 6 weeks. Like, that's what they call regular church attendance. Is your bathroom schedule regular? Because that sounds really unhealthy. And I think the same thing, coming to church once every 6 weeks, we don't know you. You don't know us. I can't help you. You can't help us. Like, if that's how infrequent you come, like, it's hard to be connected like we need to be connected for us to make the difference that we need to make, for you to get back out in the world and make a difference in your world. So if you are capable, if it is possible with work and schedules and all of that stuff, and y'all don't tell me that six-year-old T-ball is the reason you can't come to church once every 6 weeks. I had a friend who coaches, and he went to a coaches meeting for, like, you know, this tournament. And they stood up in front of all the coaches and they told them, they're like, "Hey, and any of you that are going to complain about games being on Sunday, this is 2022. Church doesn't matter." And I'm like, "Well, tell me how much your six-year-old T-ball matters when your life is in shambles and your wife left you and you're struggling and you're divorced and depressed and your kids are chaotic. Like, where are you going to go then? You're going to go out to the baseball field? Because I'm running to the church. Like, let me tell you what matters in the grand scheme of things. So if it is possible, as much as you are capable, be invested. Don't just be a consumer. Dear God, don't be a consumer. Be a contributor, because the church is the hope of the world. I believe that. Let me pray for us. Jesus, you are so good. I'm so thankful that you're not just a God off in the distance who doesn't know us, but you know us, and you choose to love us anyway. While we were still sinners, while we were still imperfect and flawed and failing, you demonstrated your love to us by dying on the cross for our sins. We are known. And now you've handed the baton off to us to go and run the race that you started, to build your church, to change the world, to love the unlovable, to be light that shines in the darkness. God, help us not cower from these responsibilities. Help us to embrace these responsibilities. Help us to be the church. And it's in Jesus' incredible name we pray, and everybody said, amen.